pulpit on a Sunday. Now, Father, we lift up our brother Kenny to you. We pray, Father, that you would anoint and that you would bless this word. Lord, may it flow forth as from what it truly is, the very word of God. Father, we thank you for it, and we receive it. And we receive it in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. Luckily, our thoughts are not always broadcast. Right? We can get to the fifth thought. Hey, how's everybody doing this morning? I'd like to talk to you a little bit. I'm going to share a little bit just from my heart. I think it was about 2.5 months ago that I spoke last. Got the opportunity to speak today. Thank you, John. John, unbeknownst to him, he was used by God. He called me up, I believe it was it Friday night? Yep, 9 o'clock at night. And like I talked about 2.5 months ago, Pastor John having this bullpen of men to choose from. You know, you get on the rotation, everything is good. John took a little further. He considers me a relief pitcher. And lets me know at 9 o'clock, hey, Ken, I need you to step in. Yep. And I was actually blessed and honored to be able to do it. Not for, you know, John's an excellent speaker. I was looking forward to hearing him. I'm sure I will. But as afterwards, after talking with John and telling him that I would do it, just those words saying, yeah, no problem, brought peace to him. I mean, it was like a weight was lifted off of his shoulders. And it just goes along with what I'm going to be speaking about. I titled this Words and How Our Words Affect Other People. It literally brought a peace to him. He was thankful. He was grateful up here this morning. Until I reminded him, John, I forgot to tell you, I can't do it. But he was grateful. He was thankful. And it was sincere. He was like, man. Now, those are the kind of words that you look for a lot of times. You know, they're able to speak to your situation. They're able to bring, take the anxiousness away of wondering how things are going to go. What can I do here? The last teaching I had, we talked about God's threshing floor. I had some props. I had a whaling stick. I believe my kids have hidden that. They're all older now, but they're still, you know, worried I may use that on them. I had the pitchfork. Bob, you missed it. I had a fan, one fan out of the whole congregation. I thought that was a funny joke. Rachel got it. Thank you, Rachel. It was actually a mechanical fan. I didn't have no fans in the congregation. But I talked about the threshing floor. Gloria, Betty, I got to do what seems to be happening a lot of times nowadays. I'm going to have to ask you to pull that teaching down from the church website. Because soon after I did that teaching, I found myself on the threshing floor. I don't want no remembrance of that. I don't want it being spoken about. It was like the next day. No, it was actually 30 minutes after the service. I was on the threshing floor. It's like, that was quick. I just wanted to teach about it. I didn't want to experience it. But with the help of my wife, I began to experience it. That darn flailing stick. All right, Proverbs 17:28. It says, even fools are thought to be wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. So I won't be saying anything more for the rest of the service. Right? That way I look good, look wise. If I speak, I'll remove all doubt, won't I? What I had said is today's teaching comes as a result when I taught a little over 2 months ago on God's threshing floor. I had made mention of a book about increase and decrease. I also mentioned that my son, he's in the back there, right, was to get this book and study with his mother. As I called him out during the service, I made a statement that it was my son Shane that was to get the book, not Jesse, the son I love, who was also present, and you heard the gasp in the audience. Yes, that's what I said. It's on the tape. It can't be taken back. That's why I was asking for that to be taken back. That was, you know, that needs to be my past. It needs to be forgotten. So by the time I got home, walked in the door, I usually, you know, ask my wife, "So how do you think it went?" And she says, "Well, I need to talk to you about it." I says, "What?" She says, "I think what you said was hurtful." I said, "Well, I was just teasing. I was just kidding." But there was a gasp. And I thought about it, and I got a little defensive. I said, "I was just kidding. I was just teasing. He knows that. He needs to man up." But as you know, they're always your baby. If you're a mother, they're always your baby. Right? And I stepped on her baby, and she called me out on it. And given the props that I had, and they were readily available, I was listening. I'm like, okay. But given that nature, Ken, that fleshly nature, my solution might not have been the best. I said, "Well, if it would make you feel better, I'll kick Jesse out of the house. That way Shane feels better about the fact that I love Jesse, but I ain't going to let him stay here no more." That did not help my situation. I was going in this downward spiral. I had Shane in, and it didn't even help with Shane. He's like, "No, he'd be staying over at my house." But I got to thinking about it, and I called him up. "Shane, come on up. I'm going to call him up again. Yes, bring my props." There was a part of me that didn't feel it was necessary to call him up. But if I wanted to sleep with my eyes closed, there was a part of me that thought, "I better do this. The quicker, the better." But I did call him up. "This is my son, Shane," and I did apologize to him. And it was then that God showed me how our words have the ability to bring life and death, even when we're just joking. And I brought him up here today to once again apologize in front of the congregation, not just to him, not just in front of his mother, but in front of all of you. I do love my son. I love all of my children. Amen? I love you. Don't go nowhere. I didn't say I didn't get to pick on your mothers up north. I can go home in peace and quiet. I won't get flailed until she gets home later tonight. Amen? But haven't we all found ourselves in that situation where somebody said something that may have hurt us? Anybody have something said to them that may have hurt them? Anybody say something that may have hurt somebody else? Now, I found a solution. This is what my wife gave me, some duct tape. She says, "This is your solution. You need to take this duct tape. Can you peel off a piece for me?" Oh, she bought the sticky stuff. See, with this duct tape, it's going to limit your speech. It's going to limit the amount of your words. Does anybody here need some duct tape? I think we all could use some duct tape at times. You know, it's like when we teach our Married for Life class, one of the analogies we use is a tube of toothpaste. You squeeze that toothpaste out of the tube, and them being your words, how easy is it to get it back into the tube? It's not very easy. I'm still trying. We started that class 15 years ago. It's not that easy. So one of the things that I've often said is that I need to get to my fifth thought before I speak. That there's a lot of thoughts that go through our heads that we don't necessarily need to act upon or speak. We need to contemplate. Contemplate. They used to call this in my day a thinking hat. I looked it up, and it actually says that you need to contemplate. You need to think. I need to be putting on my thinking hat before I speak. This is a nice hat that Jesse and Taylor got me from California. No? I said, see, I can work it in as a prop to show my appreciation for my other son that I love. Right, Shane? So I need to put on my thinking cap. And that's what God had me doing. He had me putting on my thinking cap, and he wanted me to think about the words that we say. Oh, that was for you. We're done. Yeah. Yeah. Your wife needs that. Give it to her, and then when you start talking, she can utilize it. That way you put on your thinking cap, knowing that she has the ability to put that across that facial hair of yours. See, if the other person had that tape, it may change a lot of things in our lives, sort of like put a sock in it. It means you need to stop talking. You know? You need to think about what it is that you're saying, how it is that you're saying it. I heard a husband and a wife talking, and the wife says, I've noticed that over the years, you don't tell me that you love me. He said, well, I told you when we got married, if it changes, I'll tell you differently. Words. Words that are able to cut right to the heart. What we say. So I found myself over the next few weeks, months, watching what I say. Now, when I say watching what I say, I may have said it and then watched the response that it had or didn't have. There was times where I've said something and I literally felt like as I was watching it that it brought life to that individual. It lifted their spirits. It encouraged them. It brought hope to them. You could just see their countenance change when you spoke. That I purposely was trying to be intentional about being careful what I said, when I said it, to whom I said it. And talked about the division and discord and disunity. Did you guys hear the rumor about butter? Anybody? Never mind, I don't want to spread it. And we don't want no discord in here. We have to be careful what we say. You can't get away from words, the written word. You guys sung songs today? Did we pay attention to what we sing? We contemplate what it was that we were singing. Everyone that sung the song that had a holy desire to go into the Holy of Holies. We sung that. We spoke those words. Lord, I want to go past that brazen altar. I want to go into the Holy of Holies. What does that entail? What does that really mean? I mean, we sung it and it was nice. The musicians made it sound good. Alex, I thought you sounded good. I couldn't hear you with all the people singing by me. But it sounded good. But what does it mean? What does it mean for us? Is it just, oh, this is the time of the service that we sing? What does it mean to go into the Holy of Holies? Now, if you think of that song, it talked about take the coal and touch my lips. Cleanse my lips. That we need to be a people that are looking to bring life to other individuals. We need to be able to bring life to our spouses and watch what we say, how we say it. We have the ability to truly bring life to our children. My son and Kat and his wife Cassie are here. Yeah, I got to see Cassie's sister yesterday. Shane brought her by for a minute. Haven't seen her in a long time. It was a blessing. And I actually thought about it because this is what God's put upon my heart since that last teaching. It says that I have a choice to make when it comes to speaking with somebody. That I have a choice in the words that I choose to use, even when it's just a simple greeting of how you been? How's your summer vacation been? Come to find out, she actually rolled her ankle and hurt herself. So if you can, her name is Jessica, lift her up in prayer. You know, there was a need there. a heartfelt need in this young lady. There was a need also for a new phone screen. She broke her phone screen. But I took care of that. I told her that her brother-in-law there would buy her one. She could work it off. He says, I knew it would cost me to come over here. Mere words was spoken, and now he's accountable to it. You know that our words have actually started wars? I mean, wars. Not just fights between a husband and a wife, or between a mother and her child, or a father and his child, but have started wars, and people die because of our words. We do have the ability. They're so powerful. God's word is so powerful that when he spoke things into existence. And we were created in his image. It's the one thing that sets us apart, is that we are able to communicate, speak words. This gentleman here, he communicated today with his actions. He was worshiping. But at the same time, I seen him put his arm on his son. And you can see a father's love. There was a depth of love there for his son and wanting and desiring to have nothing but the best for him. And being an example of that in his worship. It was awesome. It was an awesome sight to see. Because with words comes actions. Our words, our thoughts, right? That's where we live, really. That's where we contemplate everything. That's why we're thankful that our thoughts are not revealed to everybody. Because they're just thoughts at the time. Sometimes they're formulated into words. Sometimes they're formulated into actions. But it first comes with our thoughts. So if I'm wanting to watch what I say, and I'm wanting to bring life forth, then it's going to start in my thought life. I'm going to have to turn around and renew my mind. And there's no better place than renewing your mind than focusing on what is true. There's no better truth to know than God's word. What does God's word say about it? You know, with my wife bringing me, bringing that to my attention, thank God for my wife that she brought that to my attention. Because quite honestly, it would have just continued to slip on by me. You know, but I can take the opportunity, and that's what I said when I was talking about threshing, that it's God. Take the opportunity to humble myself and to correct that situation and to make sure that it's known and to not do that. To not get a laugh at the expense of somebody else, because how many times we have been teased and still took it to heart a little bit? Knowing that, well, they didn't really mean that, but you still like, really? Like Ray said today, the enemy, our past is our past. He brings it up and he wants us to take it to heart, even though we've been transformed. We've been changed. That's the old man. He's dead. He's crucified. He's washed in the blood. And he tries to bring our past up with what? Words. Lies. A lie is a powerful thing. Because it's words. Remember when Joseph went out with his brothers and they buried him in the pit? They came back and told his father that he had been killed. That was a lie. But it was a lie that his father believed. And sometimes we end up believing the lies rather than what God's word says. Ray reminded himself, well, you know what? Everybody has a past, but this is what God's word says about my past. God doesn't lie. God's bigger than my past. He's bigger than all of our pasts. He's bigger than our future. He's able to handle our future sin. I'm thankful. Because if I have to speak, I know I'm going to be in sin sooner or later. Right? My thoughts move faster than I want them to sometimes. That's why I always want that delay button. know, they used to have a delay button on the TV. That way, if somebody slipped up and whatnot, they'd hit that delay and it kind of would beep it out. There ain't no delay no more. There's no delay on anything anymore, I don't think. Everything goes. And it's sad. It's sad. We in the church, right? We more than anybody need to stand out. We need to be the ones that stand out when it comes to what we say, what we do, how we go about our lives. There isn't anybody out there that isn't looking to be uplifted, to be encouraged, that wants to truly stay in the misery that they're in. They try to make it look like they're happy. They try to make it look like they're having a good time, that everything's great. They try to make it look like they're standing on a solid foundation, that no matter what happens, this will never be shaken. But there comes a time where it's shook. And as much as their words have been used to ridicule us as Christians, as followers of Christ, when their foundation's shook, it's usually us that they're running to, because we have a solid foundation underneath us. It's something that you have to work at. You have to work at having that solid foundation underneath your feet. No matter how many years you've been serving Christ, I'm working at having a solid foundation underneath my feet. I can build upon that. I cannot exhaust God when it comes to having that solid foundation underneath my feet. So with that, I begin to look up Scripture, because the thought is nice. Do you know that there's, I looked up, here's a list of the 10 most powerful words in the English language. What do you think they would be? Love is in there. You. According to the copywriters such as Drayton Bird, you have to use you three times for every one time you use a word like I, me, or are. You. Right? Results. Results is another word. See, the marketeers, your salespeople, right? Results. Everybody, when you hear that word, it does something. Results. What's the results? Health. You hear that something's healthy for you? Kind of perks your interest. That's why there's always something healthy for you. And it changes. And what was healthy for you last week, last year, no longer healthy for you. There's something new healthy for you. What happened to the eggs? Are eggs healthy this week? Yeah, because next week I don't think they're healthy for you. Right, Donna? Unless you get the brown ones like Donna, then they're healthy for you all the time. And if you get the white ones like Eddie, well, I don't know. I'm like, how come it's Donna gets the brown ones, but she won't let you get any of them? I'd check your insurance policy, brother. Yeah. Guarantee. Guarantee is another powerful word. Right? Who's going to buy something when it says no guarantee? You're like, I'm not going to waste my time. There ain't no guarantee. You see the word guarantee, and you might not even read the rest of the statement. It's so powerful, you're like, guarantee. Oh, okay. Guaranteed that this is not going to work. Guaranteed that this is going to cost you money. Guaranteed that you're going to be, you know, sorry. But you see that word guarantee, and it sparks something in you. And you think whatever it is that your perception is about guarantee, instead of investigating it, digging a little deeper. Here it is, love. Proven. This is proven to work. You hear proven in that instead of this will work. You're like, it will? But you hear, oh, this has been proven to work. It's like all the drug trials. You know, they go to the colleges. You ever see this on TV? It cracks me up. All the drug trials. This has been proven to work. And by the way, we got a list of these side effects that also have been, well, may happen. Not proven to happen. Now, we haven't found a real consistency, but there is a list of side effects. Donna, after yesterday, I doubled down my prayer on you. With the medication that she has to take, I don't know. The side effects scared me. Scared me. I'm like, oh, I got to double down on prayer for her. That's crazy. But it's true. But if they put in there, it's proven to work. We kind of tend to put our faith in that. Amen? Safety. In other words, save. And our all-time favorite, new. Yep. Something new. Right? Top 10 words. How about that? Then I end up, this has been a long 2-month journey. I like these words for the younger people. They all left. Matthew. Yeah, here, we'll go over to this side of the church here. Yeah, this is for you two. All the rest are, well. Yep. Okay. Yeah, we have here words. Words are getting shorter and shorter. So now we have texting symbols. ABT. They're not in the know. As young as they are, they don't know. All right, let's get one that everybody knows, old and young, LOL. Right? So the words are taking on so much that you can communicate, right? B2W. You know this one, Shane? B2, the number two, W. You will. It's called back to work. Your vacation's over. Right, Ed? Yeah. They got a list of all these texting things. I don't know if abbreviating is simpler or not. You know, when you go to do your messages, I found the easiest way is hit that microphone. And so what if it comes out the way it's supposed to, right? How many times have you hit the microphone, looked at that message, well, I didn't say none of that. Wait a second. And we go back to old school. We're going to type this one out. We don't want this message misconstrued. But it's true. We can't get away from our words. So what do? We have to make a choice to make sure that we're doing what God would want us to do. And that is to bring life. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, that is so true. I've been, in the 2 months since I preached, I've been talking to my wife. And I can see, because I watch, I can see that when I'm speaking, the reaction that I'm getting that I need to stop this. That I'm saying stuff that she's misconstruing, which then I need to be clear. Not just keep, well, that's not what I meant. Well, if you were watching the reaction, if you're having a conversation and you're watching the reaction of the individual, especially if any of you know my wife, when you get the rolling of the eyes, it's a signal that you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing. You know? And it's the weirdest feeling because I did not FaceTime her before this message, but I could sense her eyes rolling when I discussed some of my props. Like, one of the words talk about a harsh word is like the thrusting of a sword. And I said, I have one in my car. Maybe I can try that on Bob. I could sense the rolling of her eyes. And she's filled with such wisdom. She said, well, have somebody try that. I agree, it's not a bad prop, but they need to do it to you. Like, what are you saying? I don't think she's seen the rolling of my eyes. She's oblivious to that. Weird, isn't it? How we look at things. Ephesians 4:29, it says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those that hear. I read that and I thought, I think I got less to say. If I'm not going to be intentional, then I probably have less to say. If I'm not to let any unwholesome talk come out of my mouth, I'm going to be quieter. You know, I'm not going to be able to speak those thoughts. And sometimes you get caught off guard because you might walk into a crowd of your coworkers or something, and they're already in the midst of that talk, and you're like, okay, I need to just turn around, not say anything. You know, there's a time, there's a place for it. You know? So there's a time when we're to speak. Amen? It says, there is one whose rash words are like, I was going to do it, Bob. Like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I didn't do it. Aren't you thankful? I overcome them thoughts and I submitted them to my wife, to Christ. Bob will live today. The sword stayed in the car. Amen. It says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. I don't know if I'm going to speak at all. I'm kind of scared. And yeah, I got to thinking through this process that, man, this is tough. I mean, I'm supposed to be thinking before I speak? I'm supposed to be gathering my thoughts? I thought I was doing pretty good, and I was to an extent. But God wants a little bit more. He wants to go a little deeper. He wants, as it was said, he wants me to mature a little bit more. To grow up just a little bit more. So he starts showing me, he says, it's not about that you can't speak. We are the only ones that have the privilege to bring life through him, living and dwelling in us. We, as the disciples said, Jesus, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. So I'm going to stumble. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to sin. I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to continue to speak life because that's what the enemy would not want us to do. He would want to stop the message. Right? There's a song I like to listen to, and part of it says, to bring the noise. I'm going to bring the noise. It's just got to be good noise. I want to be intentional. I want to be bringing good noise. I want to be building people up, speaking life, speaking words of healing, of affirmation. Something that's going to bring joy to the situation. Hope. We have so many good teachers in our midst with Ken and Matthew. And, you know, the legacy, I love the legacy of the Father and the Son and how, well, the anointing's upon Ken and there's a double anointing upon Matthew. He did a much better job. Just kidding, Ken. Here we go again, how easy it is, right? That's how easy it is in just joking. We think nothing of it. We just go from one thing to the next to the next. But it's something as simple as that. Because we don't think about what we're doing. We don't think about what we're saying. And then just for good measure, just kidding, Ken. We throw that in there. Was there a need to really say that way? Ken, you did an excellent job. I was really impressed by how God's worked with you. We don't often get to hear Ken because he's a man of wisdom. He doesn't speak a lot. At least when he spoke this morning, he removed all doubt. He was not a fool. He was a godly man. And you can see how he has a godly son. And as young as Matthew is, he's stepping into that calling of speaking truth, speaking life. We all have that calling. You know, it's not just Pastor John or the elders that are called to speak life. They're given an opportunity to get up here and speak it from the pulpit like I was. But make no mistake about it. You leave here today, you have an opportunity to speak life or death. Amen. And given that opportunity, that's a high calling. It's nothing to shirk about. It's like, man. You know, for some of us, we need to be quiet and study the Word and just soak it in and soak it in and soak it in. can never get too much of that. You know, take the songs that were sung today and go over them. What did I sing? What did I sing about? What does that mean? Put your thinking cap on and contemplate that. Think about it. Think about how your words formulate into action. How many here were blessed with what Ray had to say? Once again, you found out you weren't alone. That the enemy is on all fronts trying to attack all of God's children, one way or another. And it's nice to be reminded about what God's done. God's always reminded his children about what he's done for them, that he is faithful. Most exciting thing about this process is that I'm in God's hands. I can rest assured that he's going to continue to reveal to me when I say something that I shouldn't say something that I shouldn't have said at that time, when I should be saying something, and I'm wanting to be quiet. Like, I don't know them. I don't know if I should go talk to them. What do I got to say? What am I going to say to them? By the way, my name's Ken. Eli, nice to meet you, Eli. Just like Eli when I seen that in the back. I don't know Eli, I just met Eli. You know, what am I going to say to Eli? You know? But it's words like that. It's truth. No, you're just preaching good news. And I consider your son blessed. He may not realize it because he's experienced it all his life. He may take it for granted and not realize what God's done for him, putting him in the midst of a loving father. Because there's fathers out there that aren't so loving. You know? God's done that for you. He's done that for us. He's put us in the midst of a loving family. There was a word spoken that somehow we can upset one another at times. That Matthew, I think it was you, that we could rub each other the wrong way. I get Matthew's name on this one, so if the tape isn't edited. Matthew says something about being dragged through the mud. See, our words give visuals. Drag through the mud. Somebody's going to drag your name through the mud with lies, slander, gossip. And then you have to decide, well, how are you going to respond to that? Right? Usually we respond out of emotion, which isn't good. You know, that's part of that. Watch your words, self-control. We respond out of emotion. Nobody going to drag me through the mud. And then we usually respond out of emotion, which means we respond quickly with our emotions, which doesn't give us time to put our thinking cap on. Now, we all find ourselves in situations, and looking back 2020, we realize, yeah, I did need to respond, but I didn't need to respond just then. I wasn't in the best frame of mind when this was happening. I should have taken some time, maybe a day or two, prayed about it, could have sought some counsel, and still could have addressed the situation. You know, unless it's a life-threatening situation where your kid's ready to run in the street, then you need to address it right away. Otherwise, it might not be so life-threatening. You couldn't give it time. The other individual might not think so, and they might not want you to give it time. It's almost like they provoke you to turn around and get emotional and say things that you regret. I heard it once said that when you have those life-threatening situations, it's not just our words, but it's the volume in which you say them. It provokes a different attention. That if you're constantly yelling at your kids for things that don't require you to yell at them, when that life-threatening situation comes up and they're ready to run in the street and you yell, they're just going to think it's another situation. Whereas you reserve those tones for the right situation. So that when you raise your voice, you know that they know something happened. Right, Shane? What I love about words, I had Shane come up here. He's grown up. He's married. He's living off in a nice palace over there. Right? I'm reminded of that. Thank you, Bob. Streets of paved marble, I think, go through his house, run through his house and stuff. But the power of words is I told him he had to come up. And he's like, There's still that submissive state there because of the relationship that we have. That you take the time to continue that relationship as they grow, to build into it. I tell my wife all the time, and it costs. I tell her she wants to build this relationship. All her kids are growing up. We got one left at home. Says to continue that, you're going to have to take them to eat. They got to eat. And there's only one other thing that'll help to ensure that is you tell them you're paying. And you tell them Dad said he'd pay, and they'll do it. Anything to be a thorn in Dad's side while they're gone. You know, and it's like, oh, really? Dad's paying? I was going to bring something home for Cassie this time. Yeah, okay. And then I was really thirsty. I'm going to stop by the gas station. I wanted to get some stuff to drink later. Yeah, okay. But I had to turn the tables on them. I says, listen, things are tight now. We're going to flip the table. So now we go to eat. He has to pay. I thought, well, I got to get something for Deb. He's like, she doesn't like breakfast. I said, there goes my second breakfast. So we got to go by the gas station and get something to drink. He says, you weren't coming by to watch a movie, were you? I said, yeah, but I can drink it later. Words, conversations. Last Samurai, and I'll end here. He says, I'd rather have a nice conversation. Wouldn't you rather have a nice conversation with somebody? Sit down and talk with them. So, our journey brings us to the fact that we need to watch what we say, how we say it, when we say it. Amen? You guys realize what you just said? Amen. You guys are all in agreement. Good luck. I will see you on that threshing floor. If I could have the prayer team come up. Prayer. What is prayer? Words directed to our Heavenly Father on behalf of Jesus. How many more people do you want taking your case before God? It was one of the things that Ken talked about with Absalom, wanting to have that power over his father, sitting outside the city gates. Say, tell me what you need. You need to tell these people what we need. They'll tell God what you need. Mark's been praying for me for a long time. My hand's actually getting better, Mark. I appreciate it. He comes up and he's worried about which hand to shake. I'm like, man, my hand's getting better. You know? And I know that Mark's praying for me. There's words going up on my behalf. Prayers. Of people that I don't even know are praying for me. They're probably praying for me because of my wife, they feel sorry for her and praying for me. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father God, for your word, Father God. How it is that it's your word that brings forth life, Father God. It is your heart's desire that we, as your children, would also bring forth life, Father God, with what it is that we speak, Father God. That we look to lift people's spirits, Father God. We look to bring hope and healing, to preach the good news, to speak the good news, Father. And Father, teach us, Father God, on how to humble ourselves and hold our tongue, Father God. To be wise, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. When we
face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Your prayer.